Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, let's try this out here.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Morda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to preview the Devin Haney and George Kambosos fight next week. Hey, I believe me and Georgie got a pie bet on that, right, Beeb? I think we got a pie bet on that, I believe.
Correct, yep.
Yeah, because we canceled Chandler Enz because he doesn't pay up. Just the way it is. Just the way it is, Beeb.
Yes,
you ever not paid up on a bet?
No.
Right?
No.
It's like God code, man. You can't do that. You can't do
the gambler. It's the gambler's code.
Yeah, you don't do that, man. That's just not stuff you do.
You don't do that here in the big city.
No way. No
not
way.
Not the mean streets of Boston. We don't do that here.
Oh, in the Midwest, you watch on a bet, forget about it. You know what I mean? It's over with.
So. You do that in the mean streets of Boston, you get laughed out of town, man. You get laughed out of town. Throw you right out of there. We'll fold you up and get you right out of there.
That's right, man. That's right. All right, let's get started with the Showtime pay-per-view, Tank Davis versus Rolly Romero. Full disclosure here, man, I like Rolly Romero. And I like him because he was the one that he came out and said, hey, I want to fight Tank Davis next. Everybody and their brother knew this guy probably wasn't ready for Tank. But, you know, hey, listen, man, Ryan Garcia had called out Tank, went the other way. That didn't work out. Devin Haney, everybody calls out Tank, but nobody fights Tank. You know what I mean? We never get these big matchups. So for Rolly to come forward, it's a very easy fight to make. For Rolly to come forward and say, hey, I want to fight this guy, it gave me a lot of respect for him. No matter what you think of him in the, you know, the pre-fight and everything like that, you know, I mean, I got a lot of respect for a guy like that, man. He walks like he talks. Now, he came up short here, obviously, but look, man, he did a good job in there. Tank Davis wins via six-round TKO over Romero. Man, I tell you what, that was a picture-perfect left hand that caught Romero coming in, and it reminded me a lot of the Pacquiao Marquez shot. He was coming into the ropes. He shot him right in the right, you know, perfect shot, right on the chin, and down he went, man. That was it. Now, he got back up. Rolly got back up, but, you know, that referee says, hey, man, yeah, they stopped the fight. The referee gave him a lot of time here. The ref gave him a lot of time. He said, move to the left, you know, come to me, move to the left, you know, move this way, move that way. And he couldn't do it, man. Romero's legs were gone. You could see it. Like, even when he got back up and he took a step to the ref, you could see his legs do the, you know, do the dance or whatever. He wasn't in any shape to go forward. You could see also, too, if you look, you could see his eyes and his face and his expressions, and the referee is right close to that stuff. I heard some people say that it was a bad stoppage. That was not a bad stoppage. That guy was going to get hurt. If Tank went out there and hit that guy a couple more times, he was going to get hurt. And that was a great stoppage by the ref, man. No question about that. Now, at the time of the stoppage, two of the three judges actually had Tank ahead in the fight. One had Rolly up. I had Rolly up at the time of the fight. I thought he was winning. I gave Tank the first round, and that really could have went either way, and I gave Rolly the rest. I thought Rolly was pressing the action. I thought he caught Tank a few times. I don't know if he hurt Tank. I think he buzzed him a couple times. I don't know that he was really legit hurt, and Tank said even after the fact, he says that he didn't hurt me, but I knew I couldn't stand in front of him. You know what I mean? And so I think that said a lot. But I saw, you know, I think it was some off-balance shots that, you know, kind of set Tank, you know, buckling a little bit or whatever. I don't know that he was hurt. I think they were more off balance than anything else. I mean, he's awkward. Romero's a very awkward fighter, so it's tough to get in there with him. Tank in this fight, man, to me, was just not very busy. He didn't look great. He only landed 25 punches in the six rounds. You know, I look, man, I mean, that, 25 punches? That's it. 25 punches, and one of them was a knockout punch. That ain't good, man. That's just not good. He didn't throw a lot. That's why I didn't give him a lot of rounds. But, I mean, it is what it is. Listen, I didn't think, you know, I think you and I were kind of on the same page here. I didn't think he belonged in the ring with Tank this early in his career. I kind of thought it was
fights.
Only 14 fights, man. And I tell you what, this could have been a bad move for their management. I know it's Tank, and I know it's a big fight, pay-per-view. Yeah. Doesn't get any better. Sometimes you got to take those opportunities, man.
Sure.
I hope this doesn't hurt his career going forward in the sense that his confidence is, like, shattered, you know, because he got knocked out. He was out. You know, I mean, it looked like to me, after he got hit with that left hand, he was out when he collapsed into those ropes. And he was out. And then he got back up or whatever. But I think for that split second, he was knocked out. Now he knows he can be knocked out. It's no longer a myth anymore. He can be knocked out. He can be hurt. And so now does that travel with him? I don't know. And where does his confidence go from here? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's a young, young fighter. Hopefully he can get that back. But, yeah, I don't know, man. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I was thinking, you know, Tank was just kind of laying back, waiting for Raleigh to make that mistake because he's pretty confident that Raleigh would make that mistake. Does keep his chin up high in the air, that Raleigh's defense is not the greatest. He does lean forward and overextend with a lot of those power shots, winds him up and kind of comes at you face first with those shots. And I just thought Tank was waiting for that. But admittedly, after the fight, Tank said, you know, I got off to a slow start. And Raleigh in spots was looking okay. I mean, his jab was not bad. He was gauging distance well. You know, he landed a couple, you know, short left hooks. They didn't land flush. At no point in time did I think Tank was buzzed, as you said. I agree with you on that. But, you know, I don't think Raleigh hit him flush enough to hurt him. But even without hitting him flush enough, as you said, Tank said this guy's pretty heavy-handed. He even said that at the end of the fight, this guy's got some power. He's strong. But, you know, I just felt the writing was on the wall. He was going to make that mistake. There was, like, watching him in other fights, seeing how he was kind of wild and overly aggressive, just leaning in, bending too far forward when throwing those power shots. You knew Tank was going to capitalize on that. Tank is just too seasoned to not.
You know, and as good as a fighter as Romero is, he's an awkward fighter, and he tends to throw punches, you know, awkwardly. And so Tank, he's a boxer, man. He can fight. He is a good boxer. He's going to be able to pick up on that. His corner's going to be able to pick up on that, and, you know, and that's all she wrote, you know. How did you feel about Tank's performance? Did you like it? Did you think he looked great in there? Did you think, you know?
Well, again, this is another fight where Tank got off to a slow start and had to kind of rally with a big shot to turn it around. I mean, the same thing in Leo Santa Cruz. I had Leo Santa Cruz up in that fight three rounds to two before he landed the big shot. Even in his last fight against Isak Cruz got off to a good start, and Tank had to kind of rally a little bit in the later round to salvage that fight. So I am starting to see a pattern with Tank getting off to a slow start. Seems as though he's trying to collect data, but he's taking too much time to collect that data. So, you know, sort of like in the Richards fight against Buatsi, you know, Craig Richards lost a lot of those. Like he lost at least the first six rounds in that fight. I had him losing the first seven. And he came on late. Now, you can't give up seven rounds in a fight and try to play catch-up in the second half. You know what I mean? So I think if you want to work your way through the fight, you want to collect data, you have to know when to kind of pick it up. And you have to determine, okay, I've collected as much data as I'm going to collect. I'm starting to give away rounds here. Let's get going.
You got to be somewhat busy while you're collecting that data.
Correct. You can't just, you know, sit back and just think that, you know, you can freeze the fight while you're collecting the data. You can't do that because the fight's going on without you. Right. So, yeah, I think that's something they're going to need to address because, You know, Ryan Garcia, he gets off to a fast start. But once again, he's a guy that keeps the chin up in the air. I'm pretty confident Tank wins that fight, if that fight was to happen. But if you're fighting a Devin Haney and you're giving away rounds, Devin Haney is a very disciplined, he's a patient fighter, right? He may not make that mistake late in the fight. So if you give away too many early rounds.
There's no way Tank beats Devin Haney.
Yeah, I think Devin Haney beats Tank. Beats.
I think
Tank
he beats
too.
Him easy. Yeah. I think he beats him easy, man. I think that's a you know, and two, you know what didn't impress me last night about Tank? He wasn't really throwing like combinations. I mean, he was throwing he was looking for the knockout, and he said he was waiting for this guy to make a mistake. He said it all week, you know. I'm going to wait for him. He's going to make a mistake. Boom, you know. And Sean Black says Haney gets knocked out. He doesn't have the power to scare Tank off. It's not really about power, to be honest with you. You know, it's just not. You know, it's not about power. Listen, you know, if you can't hit him, that power does you absolutely no good.
You know, it's crazy when you hear people dismiss people like Shakur Stevens and Devin Haney. They can't punch, they can't punch. Again, no one's walking through these guys.
Right.
Oh, you know,
right. I'll tell you what, you stand there and you get hit by Devin Haney and you let me know how much power he's got. You know, or Shakur Stevenson. Yeah, let me know how much power he's got, because I don't want to get hit flush with him, you know. Sean Moore says, fail to impress. Y'all sound crazy. This is the way he chose to beat Raleigh. Get over it. Get over what? I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Like, you know, he chose to beat him like this, so he chose to take a lot of shots, and then before, you know, that's what he chose to do, is throw one punch at a time? Come on.
You know? I mean, these fans got to stop running interference for these fighters, man. You got to stop.
Just call it like it is, man. Listen, we just call it like it is. Beeb and I will just call it like it is.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, this is the fight we saw last night. I mean, and if you're being honest, it's the fight you saw last night. And look, I was a Raleigh Romero fan, yeah. But I knew he wasn't going to win this fight. I mean, we knew he wasn't going to win, you know. Centurion said, is Tank going to fight someone legit? I think he has. I think he's answered that question, man. He's fought Leo Santa Cruz. Leo Santa Cruz that's a top-tier fighter, man. You can't say Tank hasn't fought anybody, but that's a big name. Leo Santa Cruz is a big name.
Good name, yeah.
Sean Blake says, you was hoping. Yeah. I didn't lose any money last night because no way I would have bet on him. Did you? So, all right, so speaking of betting, check this out. So, I guess the books or whatever said they had like a $5,000, like a, what is it, $5,500 or something like that? And if the fight ended in 60 seconds, they actually put up there. And did you get this feeling too? Raleigh kept saying, I'm going to knock him out in the first round. And I'm like, son, that's not going to happen. And they're like, well, what happens if you don't? It ain't going to happen. He's going to get knocked out in the first round. If you guys took it and just like ran with it. Like, I knew he wasn't going to get, he's not dumb. I mean, Tank's got power. You know he's got power.
Nah.
You know? Thank you so much, Chauncey Pearls. We appreciate it, man. He said, if we were going to give Benavidez credit for that fraud of a KO over Lemieux, then give Tank credit for last night's KO. Hey, listen, man, I tell you what, Tank got in there, and he's right. He's 100% right. I guess we didn't really give Benavidez that much credit for that knockout.
I mean, again, you know, when somebody knocks out, when you're a minus 1,000, I mean, there's not much left to the imagination. I mean, both fights were what they were. Did anyone expect anything other than what they got in both those fights? I mean, come on.
Well, especially the Lemieux fight, because Lemieux was way on the dark side here, man.
Why do grown men cape so much for other grown men that don't know them, that aren't friends with them? Like, I'm the biggest Tyson Fury fan in the world. Like, people talk shit about Tyson Fury. He doesn't need me to run to his defense. He's a multimillionaire. These guys are multimillionaires. They have lawyers, managers. They don't need you guys to cape for them so hard. You shouldn't get that that wound up because Eric's not impressed with Tank throwing 25 punches last night. Tank himself said he got off to a slow start. He admitted it himself. Eric is just saying what Tank said.
Yeah, but Tank's just being hard on himself.
You guys are mad at Eric. You guys are mad at Eric. This is a bad look for y'all, man. You got to stop.
Seriously.
You're grown men. You're grown men. You should not be caping for another grown man who doesn't know you.
Doesn't know you. And besides that, he's a grown man. So I don't know, man. What's to say about you, like, that you got heroes at this age?
Corny, man.
Corny. Sly Tendencies, thank you so much. Hashtag MLB. Love it. Love it, Montero, baby. Nothing better than fans accusing fans of knowing nothing about boxing when they watch a guy lose every round and get hit with one shot. Wilder Boxing IQ. There you go. So, yeah, man. Centurion Sun says, Notorious VC said, Tank. Centurion Sun said, Eric, was Leo Santa Cruz 122 pounds a smaller guy? Yeah, I think he was a smaller guy, but still, that fight took place at 130. So, to me, it doesn't matter. You know, he was coming up, Santa Cruz, I don't know that that was Santa Cruz's first fight at 130. So, he was coming up. Tank, you know, Tank's definitely a bigger guy. But the fight took place at 130. That was a solid win. I think that was, you can't take that away, man. That was a solid win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to disrespect Leo Santa Cruz. I think he's a solid fighter. But
Sean Black just said Wilder is the best American boxer in the last 20 years. Wow.
That's his opinion, I guess.
Wow. Wow.
You know?
Where's the... Let's see, where to go here? Oh, okay, I'm sorry about that. Bang Mateo, thank you so much. Raleigh throws jabs like Charlie Z. Raleigh Zelnoff.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
This is beautiful, Slight Tendencies. Eric has an opinion in the comments, start acting like the town elders in Footloose.
That's a good one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Hey, speaking of old movie, man, did you see the new Top Gun?
No, I'm going to go see it. Don't worry. I promise.
Let me tell you what, it was worth getting COVID for. I'll tell you that. It was worth it. Raleigh is very novice-like. Yeah, I mean, you know, Sean Black says, show me otherwise. I'll give you two names, Errol Spence. There you go. You got a better resume already than Wilder. Stop it. Stop. Come on, get it together over there. Let me tell you what, Beeb, you paid for this card.
I did.
I was lucky enough to see the card. $75. Was this trash heap worth $75?
Absolutely not.
No. From the undercard, from the top on down, none of those fights were pay-per-view worthy. None of them.
You know what I was very disappointed in? I tried to record it, and I wasn't allowed to record it for whatever reason. It's the first time. I don't know if they block in, like certain pay-per-views, they block the ability to record them, but it said, you are not subscribed to this channel. You cannot record this program. And I don't know if that was just a technical difficulty or what, but I usually record the pay-per-views because I like to watch them again the day after because sometimes I'm tired when I watch them. I like to watch them a second time when I'm more awake. And I wasn't able to record this pay-per-view.
Consider yourself lucky that you couldn't record it. You know what I mean?
Well, that made me more angry because at least like when I pay the $75, I could say to myself, I own it. You know what I mean? But at this, you know, in this case, I was not able to say that. Right? So I was pissed.
Yeah, I tell you, man. You know, the thing is, that card was just not worth $75.
Yeah.
And I have no idea, you know. Now, Tank said that at the end of the day, he said at the end, he said he's still with Mayweather Promotions. Now, whether he continues to stay there, who does he fight next? I mean, really? Like, who does he fight next?
I really hope they try to make that Ryan Garcia fight because I just don't see anything else out there for him. I know that Devin Haney is going to be tied up with Camp Bolsas if he wins the
fight next week because they have to do a rematch clause.
The only way they're making that Ryan Garcia fight is if Tank leaves Floyd and he goes to Matchroom or Golden Boy. And there's no way Tank is dumb enough to go to Golden Boy. I don't know any I mean, like, if you're an up-and-coming prospect and you land up at Golden Boy, that's fine. No experienced guy is going to Golden Boy now. None.
I think, believe it or not, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, you can call me crazy if you want, anybody in the chat or you yourself
crazy.
Included. I think Tank can be a free agent. I don't think he needs to sign a long-term deal with somebody.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
Am I wrong here?
No, I don't think so at all. He can go like that Canelo status and start fighting everybody.
If even if that fight is on DAZN and they put it on DAZN pay per view, if he's going to get paid, you know, a fucking obscene amount of money, then just get it done. And if these guys over at Mayweather Promotions, right, really care about this guy like they say they do, and they really want this guy to be a superstar, and they really want this guy to make as much money as possible. Him versus Ryan Garcia is a can't miss.
Man, I tell you what, that's
a can't miss.
One of the biggest fights you can make right now. Yeah. I mean, really, it is.
That could do a million. That could
arguably one of the biggest fights you can make right now.
Yeah, that could do a million.
Tank's a popular fighter. Garcia's a super popular fighter. Yeah. But
so,
you know who's going to screw that up is Oscar. Oscar's going to screw that up.
If they're smart over at Mayweather Promotions, they'll say, okay, go over there for this one fight and come back to us, Tank.
Yeah. I would say that. I mean, because you're not going to be able to go with Oscar. You know what I mean? He's just not going to work with him. You know how they are.
Oscar fucked up that Isak Cruz fight, right? They were trying to put that fight together, and he fucked that up, Oscar.
How could you screw that up?
And
it's
you
like
know,
Isak Cruz. This isn't like Tank Davis. This is like Isak Cruz. He's not even a big name. He's a good fighter. Don't get me wrong. But he's not a big name.
And
you still couldn't make that fight happen? Stop. Come on, man. That doesn't make sense.
It's a mess.
Before we go on to the Lara fight, and I'll read you here in a minute, Chauncey, let's talk about Jim Gray, man. I tell you what, I think Showtime just needs to get rid of him, man. He's just awful. He could possibly be, like, the worst interviewer in history, man. Tank made a reference to how a style – correct me on the way. I thought he was talking about his style. You said he was talking about his next fight.
Well, basically, this is what I took from it. And again, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what I took from it. He was asking him about what do you want next, and he goes, I can get any of them. He goes, the Glock stays loaded, meaning he's ready.
Yes.
The Glock stays loaded.
The Glock has no safety on it.
It has no safety on it, and he said there's lots of ammunition. I got lots of ammunition.
Yes. And then Jim Gray took that and said, you know, he saw that as a moment to interject the incident that happened this week in Texas at the school. You know, listen, man, guys, it's all over the news. We tune in to fights so we can forget about real life for a while. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't watch boxing to see the news. I don't watch it to see current events.
You know, it's not just Jim Gray. ESPN and all these other fucking sports shows out there, excuse my language, they have to fucking politicize everything. As you said, we're here to step away from all that. And what does Jim Gray do? Pulls us back into the bullshit.
And let me tell you what, there was nothing wrong with what Tank said.
No, it was nothing.
It was supposed to be fun.
It was a metaphor.
What, we can't say gun anymore?
Can't even say gun anymore.
We can't say
that
now.
Fucking,
come on, stop.
That's how fucking PC this country's getting.
Why don't you give me a time limit to when we can talk about guns again? Why don't we do that?
This is
2 weeks, 3 weeks?
This is why Johnny Depp needs to win this defamation case against Amber Heard right now. He needs to win this.
Johnny Depp is awesome, man. Are you watching that?
Yeah.
Are you, like, catching those clips and everything?
That's better than the OJ trial, right?
Isn't that right?
That's the best.
He's
part.
So good, man.
I am pulling.
He kills
them
lawyers. She took a dump on his bed.
I mean, come on.
She
man.
Took a dump on his bed. Like, who does that?
And she didn't.
Like,
she
really,
didn't,
who does that?
She didn't punch him. She hit him. There's a difference.
Is there? I don't think there's much of a difference.
There's a difference. Not.
Right. I was saying, I don't think there's much of a difference here, man.
There's a difference. Not.
Sly Tennessee saved Johnny Depp.
That's right.
That's it.
Johnny Depp needs to win, not just for himself, but for all of us men out there.
There it is.
It's a win for all of us men.
That's it. See Johnny Depp's lawyer, man?
The Spanish one's pretty, that girl.
Yeah. Rumor has it. He's, you know, I guess they're going to be hooking up pretty soon, I guess.
Yeah, Lois looks like that.
You got a picture of Johnny Depp's attorney, and you just paste it on the blow-up doll? Or how? What
you please, mean? Come on. Please. Disrespect Lois like that.
Antonio Luna, he said his dog got stung by a bee. Well, hopefully your dog's okay, man. So thoughts with your dog here. Also of note here, yeah, and not to bring up the gun thing too much here, but did you hear at the end of the fight, when people are leaving, I guess at the end of the event, there was a guy spotted there with a gun that caused like this big rampage there. Like people started running and everything like that. Apparently it was, it was all over like the videos and stuff. We'll see people like rushing and everything like that. It's,
wow.
It's crazy, man. Crazy.
I didn't know that.
All right, Chauncey Pearls, thank you so much, man. He says, is Laura on another championship run at 160? So let's talk about this for a minute here because Spike O'Sullivan and Aroslavi Lara. Now, Lara won via TKO in the eighth round over Spike O'Sullivan. The bout was pretty much dominated by Lara. You know, now let's marinate on this for a minute, man. This was the co-main event, all right? Co-main. Lara is 39 years old. And Spike O'Sullivan is way on the dark side of his career. You know what I mean? Every time, and it's not just every time he stepped up in talent, stepped up in opposition, he's lost. Okay? But, you know, listen, man, the guy's got a ton of heart. He's a good fighter. He's got a ton of heart. He couldn't lay a glove on Lara last night. He couldn't lay a glove on Lara last night, man.
With all due respect, let's rephrase what you just said. Every time he steps up in competition, he doesn't lose. He gets destroyed.
Well.
He loses badly.
I didn't see him need to trample over him like that, B, but, you know, wow. That was rough. Wow.
You know, we're going to have Robbie Coleman in a minute. So he'll top what I just said. That heartless bastard. I'm sorry. That slipped out. That's Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
But, but the one great thing, as you said, is at least Spike O'Sullivan does pick up the phone. So we got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't lose his pen. He picks up the phone.
Picks up the phone. So.
Yeah, it's a powerful mustache, too. Did you see the handlebar?
Beautiful mustache.
Unbelievable, right? Not everybody can do that, man. That's a skill.
No. I could never do that, man.
I couldn't do it.
The Iron Sheik can do it, though.
Raleigh Fingers, the Iron Sheik, Spike O'Sullivan. There you go. You know, so to answer Chauncey's question, do you think that this is a title run at 160? No. No, not even a little bit. I think Lara's 39 years old. And here's what happens. And they say, well, he's got a new style now. When you see a guy that was a mover his entire career and now he's sitting down on punches and they say he has a new style, that's code for my legs are gone. That's what that's code for. He doesn't have a new style. He cannot move like he used to. You know what I mean? So it's no, does he have another title run? No, absolutely not. He's on the tail end too. And once you have a good prospect, they're going to put him against Lara, and that's going to be that. You know what I mean?
Do you know, I'm going to tell you something crazy right now, that Sergio Martinez is ranked in the top five right now in the WBA? I can't even fucking believe it.
It's the WBA.
It's
a, you know what I mean? Like, wait.
He's ranked. This is the WBA's rankings right now. Chris Eubanks Jr. is number one. Jaime Munguia is number two. Sergio Martinez is ranked number three right now by the WBA. This guy's, I think 44 years. No, how old is Sergio Martinez right now? He's ranked number three.
96, 97, I don't know.
I think he's like 45, 46. He's 47 years old, Sergio Martinez. And he's ranked number three by the WBA. And let's look at, and I love Sergio Martinez. I'm not trying to shit on the guy. But let's look who he's fought. He came back in 2020, beat Jose Miguel Fandino. Then he beat this guy, Jesse Kuala. Then he beat Brian Rose, the guy from the UK. And then he beat McCully McGowan. Right? Now, he has been pretty active since he came back. He fought twice in 2020, once in 2021, and he fought in January in 2022. This guy is ranked number three by the WBA after beating those guys. What the holy fuck are we doing here?
Boxing Tech says Arislandi Lara is older than me, so there you go.
47 years old, and he's fighting, you know, with all due respect, not the stiffest of competition to come back. And he's ranked number three by the WBA.
He's 47. Well, I got him by a year. I'm 48, so there you go.
Yeah,
how is – and the guys he's fighting, how is he ranked number five based on the guys he's fighting?
He's ranked number three.
Oh, stop.
It's amazing.
You got Eubank, Munguia, and Martinez?
Yes.
He would get killed by either one of those guys.
It would be just
– Oh, that's terrible, man.
It would be sad to even imagine that him fighting either one of those guys.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
All right, let's go to Robert. Ringside Robert. You're live. 530, you're live.
What's up, Robbie?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Boy, I tell you, Bean put the poor mouth on you. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
That was awful.
I don't understand why he does that. Even before I get on the phone, he's sitting there doing that kind of stuff. That's not good.
No chance to defend yourself.
Stop trying to play the victim every time you come on here, man. This isn't a Jerry Lewis telephone here. We're not here to
sympathize
with you.
Don't make fun of the Jerry Lewis telephone. I used to help
them. No, I'm not making fun of Jerry Lewis telephone.
You can't say gun. We can't say Jerry Lewis.
Don't you even dare try to desecrate the Jerry Lewis telephone.
Beebe, I used to work on that telephone for a number of years. So.
Did you? Did you answer phones and stuff? What'd you do?
I answered phones and, you know. How
I need some type of documentation to verify that.
I'm being serious here, folks. Put
Mrs. Herrick on the phone. Put Mrs. Herrick on the phone right now. I want to ask her.
If you choose not to believe me,
you're stuttering. I mean, you're definitely lying. If I put the polygraph on you, the thing would blow up.
You want to give me a polygraph anytime. You tell me when and where.
You're brave all the way from friggin' – I'm not even going to say where you're from right now. Pots unknown.
Pots unknown. Unknown.
Yeah. Anyway, on a serious note, that is utterly ridiculous that Sergio Martinez is ranked number three. I didn't even know that. That is – what's going on with –
you know what's even crazier?
What?
They got you ranked number 16.
No.
You haven't fought
in
7 years. You're ranked number 16 by the WBA. You haven't fought in 17 years.
How is that even possible? No, seriously, what's going on with –
How is that even possible?
What's going on with that organization there? I mean, that's unbelievable. I cannot believe that. Seriously, Tank looked awful last night. He got the win, and I sincerely hope he does not re-sign with Mayweather Promotions. Seriously, I hope he does the Canelo and the Terrence Crawford routine and don't sign with anybody and does things on a fight-by-fight basis, because I don't trust Oscar De La Hoya to do the smart thing and put Ryan Garcia in the ring with him. And as long as Ryan Garcia stays with Golden Boy, he will not get a big fight either. They're going to find one person after another that he can beat just so his record looks good. Yeah, he changed trainers, but when is Ryan Garcia going to fight somebody? And if Tank Davis wants to fight somebody, he better become a free agent and stay a free agent and take the best offer that he's offered, and he does not have to sign a multi-fight deal.
Well, and I don't know there's anybody on that PBC end that can fight him right now. I mean,
no
big
not.
Names anyway.
No.
Everybody's on the other side now. So, yeah, hopefully, like I said, man, hopefully And I agree with you, B, but hopefully he doesn't sign with anybody. Hopefully it's a fight-by-fight basis.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see the Tank and Ryan Garcia fight, but I don't trust the people in charge to actually put that together.
No one does, Robbie.
No, I don't. And as far as the fights coming up, Georgie, I feel bad for you, man, because Devin Haney is going to totally put on a boxing display, and Kambosos does not have a chance.
He just jinxed it. Now you're going to get a pie in the face because Robbie jinxed it. Anytime Robbie's with somebody, you got to bet the other side, man. He's like, who's that guy in the Bronx Tale, Many the Mush, stick him in the
right,
pocket.
Right,
yeah.
He fucking ruins everything.
What are you doing, man?
I remember that.
Ruins everything.
Yeah, seriously. You know.
No, Eric.
Now, Eric, Robbie on your side. You better just put the bet now. You better put the other side.
Yeah, I better pull out. I better pull a Chandler M, you know.
Yeah. A couple of serious questions since we got a couple of big fights coming up next week. Now, how is it going to work time-wise with Australia and, you know, what time the fight is going to be on? And the same with Japan. The same with Japan. How is that going to work?
You got to pay attention. We went over this last week, Robbie.
Yeah.
What are they, 12 hours ahead of us or something?
Yeah, it's like 12, 13 hours, something like that.
So it'll probably be. I would imagine it'll be in the after. If it's 12 hours, that should be pretty easy. I mean, they're going to fight it. I would imagine they would probably do the fight in the morning. That's not unheard of.
No.
If it's 12 hours ahead of us, Robbie, they're 12 hours ahead of us. So if the fight's going to start, the card's going to start, the pay-per-view portion of the card or whatever it's going to be, it's going to start at what? 8 o'clock over here, right?
Oh, wow.
So basically, 8 to 8 is 12.
Right.
8 to 8 is 12 hours. So it'll probably start, the card will start at probably 12 in the afternoon over there. And on Sunday.
Okay. And the same thing.
All you got to do is go to the zone, flip on the schedule, look on Saturday where it says Haney Kambosos. You just open that up.
Remember, Haney Kambosos is going to be on ESPN, not the zone, Beep.
Whatever it is. Is it on regular ESPN?
It's supposed to be, but I don't know that.
I wonder, it's not a pay-per-view, is it?
No.
No, it's not a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I was going to say.
This is more of
a pay-per-view fight than the one we watched last night.
A matter of fact,
ESPN. I'm so used to seeing
it is on ESPN, yeah.
Yeah. The Haney Kambosos fight and the Donaire Monster fight is both. They're both supposed to be on ESPN.
Yeah. Well,
Toby said it's pay-per-view in Australia. That sucks, man. That sucks.
Yeah, it does.
That's awful. They're fleecing them people, man. All right, guys. Hey, listen up, man. Hey, give us some likes here, man. Start hitting that like button. We got quite a few people watching right now. Let's get those likes up, man. Let's get them up.
Yeah, hit the motherfucking like button, people. Come on.
Wow, that was harsh. It's Memorial Day. What are you doing? Wow, that's rough, man.
So it'll be on ESPN next week, Robbie. All you got to do is click your DirecTV remote.
Yep.
ESPN, please. And then just boom, there you go.
Did you have a talking remote? I don't have a talking remote, but I have a talking box.
What does that mean, Rob? You have a talking box. How does that even work? Xfinity.
I know Xfinity has a talking remote. DirecTV does not have that.
So you can't talk to the television. You can't say
no.
ESPN, Haney Kambosos, you can't do that, right?
No, I cannot do that, no.
Sean Black says, Devin Haney versus Georgie is a pay-per-view, but not Tank. No, so you got to have two people to make a pay-per-view, not just one. You got to have two.
Yeah, right.
You got to have two.
Right.
I'm not just going to pay to watch some guy, you know, show up and fight some other guy that doesn't belong in a ring.
Yeah.
Well, first
right.
of all,
my last
it's not a, it's not a pay-per-view in America. It's a pay-per-view in Australia.
That's correct.
Right.
So,
right.
So get your facts straight.
Tone 40 says, Tank did a better job than Canelo did versus Bivol, you think?
That's
a weird comment, because that's like
that
complete
goes
apples
saying,
and oranges.
That goes without saying, doesn't it?
Bivol's a top fighter, right? I mean, if champion, Ronnie wasn't a champion. I mean,
remember, Canelo, they got 550,000 pay-per-views. When the Tank numbers come out, it'll be lucky if it's 200, okay?
Robbie, why do you always have to shit on pay-per-view?
That's
cold-blooded.
Why did
you
watch the fight last night, Robert? Did you
yes,
pay for
I
it?
Yes, I did. I paid for it, and I watched it.
Wow.
I heard you streamed it. Mrs. Herrick told me you streamed it.
That's what I heard, too.
I wouldn't even know how to do
that's
that.
That's what I heard.
I wouldn't even know.
Yeah,
I paid
yeah,
for
yeah,
it.
Herrick
yeah,
did it
yeah.
Mrs. Herrick did it for you. You
oh,
slipped,
yeah, right.
You slipped her a
right.
sawbuck, and she did it for you.
Sawbuck?
You slipped her a sawbuck, and she set it up for you.
Give me a break, will you?
Put her on the phone. I want to ask her. She never lies to me.
Yeah, right.
The kid's back says Shakur is the next level. I agree with you 100% there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Shakur beats him all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sean Black says, actually, Beeb, you get your facts straight. Your co-host said Haney versus George is a better pay-per-view than Tank versus Raleigh.
It
yeah.
Most certainly, most
it
certainly
absolutely is. If it was on pay-per-view, it is
I
definitely a better pay-per-view.
I agree with him. It's a better fight. I mean, come on. I mean, honestly.
He loves Tank. That's a deal, man. That's a guy that's in love with Tank.
Well, he's got his tank underoos, man. I mean,
Tank. I like watching
him
fight.
Eric, it reminds me of Jason, who we haven't heard from in months.
Stop. Why do you got to bring
him? Don't even mention him,
you?
Man.
What's the matter with you? He was in the chat earlier. I don't know what happened to him.
Eric was in a good mood until you mentioned his name.
I was in a
yeah,
good
right.
mood. I even let him in the chat earlier. I didn't ban him or anything. I let him in.
Why you got to say that guy's name in front of Eric, man?
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
Not at all. Come on, it's Memorial Day. Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
Right?
Okay.
Eric
okay.
says we don't understand the business, Beeb.
No.
Okay. What is it that we don't understand? Please tell
right.
me.
Well,
please tell me what is
when,
the
I was in, when I was in when I was in college and taking economics class, we didn't bring up Tank pay per view numbers. I'm sorry.
No.
So, what are we doing? What am I going to tell you?
There you go. All right, Robert, we're going to get running here. I'm going to
leave
you on. So hang on one sec. All right.
Take it easy, Robert. Let's do it on the way out.
All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. The big one, June 4th, Melbourne, Australia, George Kambosos versus Devin Haney, 12 rounds for the undisputed lightweight title. It's going to be a good one. Lucas Brown versus Junior Fah, 10 rounds heavyweights. Terry Nicholas versus Lachlan Higgins, 6-round middleweights. Yeah, that undercard is the drizzling you-know-what.
Yeah, it's not a good one.
Yeah, that heavyweight fight is just okay for me. It's not anything crazy.
Yeah, it's just
all right, you know. But now, June 4th, Minneapolis, Minnesota on Showtime. Stephen Fulton versus Danny Roman, 12 rounds for Fulton's WBC and WBO junior featherweight titles. David Morrell on the undercard versus Calvin Henderson, 12 rounds for Morrell's WBA super middleweight title. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, go figure that one out, WBA.
What is that all about?
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I thought they were supposed to get rid of those shitty generic belts.
Apparently they didn't. So now on June 7th, I'm trying to think, what is June 6th is a Monday? Is that right, Bede?
June 6th is a Monday, correct.
All right, so that Tuesday then on ESPN on June 7th, Nao Inoue versus Nonito Donaire, the rematch, 12 rounds for Inoue's IBF and WBA bantamweight titles and Donaire's WBC bantamweight title. Wow.
Awesome fight.
Yeah. I love those fights because they take place in the morning. I just – something about it I like. You know, you watch them, you go to work. It's great.
Wasn't it the funniest thing when we're sitting there watching that friggin' tension fight?
Yeah.
At 5 in the morning and shit.
I was falling asleep. I had my alarm set every 15 minutes so that, like – because it was like – the pay-per-view actually went off the air. right? It actually went off of the air for like an hour or 2 hours.
I kept texting you like so you can get the ding to keep you awake.
And I'm like, and then we watched it. I was like, what? I was like, come on. We stayed up for that. It was literally all night. We waited for that fight, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, Sean Black. Come on.
This guy's hilarious.
Sean. Come on, you're better than
that. Hey, listen.
You can, at least you can come up with something better than that. I mean, come
I'm
on.
I'm the biggest Fury fan in the world.
Apparently, but, Sean Black is the biggest Tank fan.
But here's the thing. If Tyson Fury does not fight Usyk, if Usyk wins, then I think it's a bad look. I think he's walking away the wrong time. People are going to question it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to – I don't cape – even if I'm a fan of a fighter, I don't cape for them.
No.
I don't cape for any man that doesn't put money in my pocket.
That's it. That's it, man.
Why am I going to cape for someone?
You got to be objective when you do this, man.
Yeah.
You got to be objective, man. And it's okay. I mean, it's all, I mean, you know, guys like Sean or whatever, it's okay. I mean, because he's just a regular fan.
And listen,
he's, you know,
if likes, someone
likes
says
him, so.
Yeah, if someone says Tank is the best 135-pounder in the world, you can make an argument for that. I don't think it's crazy to say that. I think Devin Haney beats him, but that's my opinion. So, how did you win 500 last night? He was a friggin' he was a minus 1,000.
He had to bet somebody who didn't know anything about what was happening last night.
What did you bet someone straight up?
12-year-old. He bet some 12-year-old.
What did you bet someone straight up?
Somebody in Raleigh's family.
Who the fuck would bet someone straight up when they can get like fucking?
I don't know, because if you would have bet Raleigh with the odds and he pulls it off, that's
yeah,
huge.
I mean, Raleigh was like a plus 750. Why would
right.
anyone bet Raleigh straight up? This is hilarious, though. I love these online gamblers. these Twitter gamblers.
Right.
It's like they're crazy.
All right. So let's get to the news and rumors here. Canelo versus Triple G 3 is set for September 17th. Bib, you know how I love rematches. I don't like them at all because I've already seen the fight. A lot of people like this fight, man. I hate it. I absolutely hate this fight. It, to me, it's like a there's no reason for it.
Let me ask you a question. After the Bibble fight, Canelo said he won, right? He said it can't end like this, right? He made every indication. He had a rematch clause, right? He made every indication that he was going to fight Bibble again. That's what he implied. I mean, maybe I'm misreading it. I don't know.
Of course he wanted to play. Yeah, I mean, he's going to say at the end of the fight, yeah, I want him again, you know.
Is it a bad look, right, that you have a rematch clause? You thought you won the fight. Is it a bad look to not go back and jump on the horse and try to right the wrong? Him fighting Triple G instead of going into a rematch with Bibble, is that a bad look in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a real bad look.
I think it's a horrible look.
I think it's a horrible look. I mean,
I had this discussion with a friend of mine, and I'm not going to name him because I respect the guy. And he was saying, well, what difference does it make? Listen, how many times does someone have a rematch clause and not enforce it? The rematch clause is there for a reason, because if you lose, you're going to go right back in there and fight the guy, right? The scorecards are 115 and 113. You thought you won the fight. So why not fight the guy again? This Canelo, I mean, this Golovkin fight means zero. It has no significance to it. This is a 40-year-old middleweight who was looking the worst for wear before we knocked out Murata. I mean, there was a point.
Yeah.
We both watched that fight. And, again, the end result is what the end result. We're not here to rewrite history. We're not going to do that.
No.
But we both watched that fight. And correct me if I'm wrong. There was a point in that fight where we both thought, well, Golovkin may get stopped here. Am I wrong in saying that?
No. I mean, listen, man, I've always said it that Canelo waited to get Triple G the first time. I thought he clearly lost against Triple G the first time. Second time, I had it a draw. I could give the edge to Canelo. I could give the nod to Canelo, but I couldn't give the nod to Triple G either way.
Fine. I thought Triple G won both fights, but that's my opinion.
Now, years later, you know, a couple years later, you want to fight again. Why? What is that going to prove, man? I mean, you're already seeing somebody who's evolving here. That fight makes zero sense to me.
Has Triple G gotten any better since that second fight?
No. If anything, he's gotten worse since
he has gotten worse, right? He can't, you don't get better with age.
Right. You don't. It just is.
Fighters don't age like wine.
Right.
So I don't care, like, who wants this fight? Oh, well, the people want this fight. Who wants this fight? Who wants this fight? I took a poll. I put a poll on my chat. Who would you rather see Canelo fight, David Benavidez or Golovkin? It was like fucking 80 to 20.
Right. I don't want to see him fight Golovkin. And now Chacal was telling me that a lot of people in Mexico, this is a big fight.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, man.
I really don't know about that because Marquez isn't crazy about it.
Nobody's crazy about it.
Chavez Sr. is not crazy about it. Right?
Right.
Nacho Berenstein didn't speak too highly about it, right?
You're fighting the guy that we know is on the slide. He was on the slide when you fought him the second time. You know what I mean?
You know, this whole daring to be great thing, I'm sorry, I just don't believe it. Well, other fighters have been maneuvered and manipulated. You know, okay, but they've also been criticized. All you people who have the Canelo Alvarez pajamas on before you go to bed every night, right? He was said to have been the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Once you have that title bestowed upon you, right? Once you have that title bestowed upon you, the bar raises, right? The bar gets raised. And that's where the criticism comes in. Oh, well, you fought the second best light heavyweight in the world. Okay, but you're the best fighter in the world, right? You're the best fighter in the world. And you're telling me that you're fighting the second best light heavyweight. Because most people thought Beterbiev was the best, right?
Yeah.
So, again, the expectations are going to be higher once you are called the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. You're going to be criticized more. You're going to be looked at more closely. The microscope is going to be put on you much more so than ever before. That comes with the territory. So I don't want to hear, oh, well, he tried. No, he doesn't get a participation. We don't give participation trophies when we're dealing with greatness. There is no second place. There is no the little engine that could. Well, he tried. That doesn't matter when you're talking about the best. Elite. You got people were saying they were putting him above Julio Cesar Chavez and as the greatest Mexican fighter of all time. You don't get mentioned in the same breath as Julio Cesar Chavez, right? And not expect to be looked upon under the microscope. It comes with the territory. So this whole daring to be great, he tried, fine. But he doesn't get a participation trophy, not from me, and he shouldn't get a participation trophy from anyone else, because if you're thought to be the best, then more is expected of you. That simple. It's that fucking simple.
Listen,
that fucking simple.
You know, I mean, listen, Bivol, you know, you can argue between Bivol and Beterbiev, who's the best at that weight. Can't really argue Joe Smith yet. If he wanted the easy fight, he would have fought Joe Smith. I think he would have beat Joe Smith. I think he would have beat him pretty easy. But as far as Bivol goes, hey, listen, most people thought he was going to beat Bivol, right? You know, boxing's a deep sport. Styles make a big difference, man. They just do.
Could we argue they miscalculated here? Bivol was the lightest, was thought to have been the lightest puncher of the three champions. He was the smaller of the three champions, the least physical of the three champions. Probably not as strong as the other two guys, had not shown to be a volume guy generally, right? This was a cherry pick gone wrong, and no one wants to say it. No one wants to say it.
I think cherry pick is a strong term for it. I mean,
I mean,
he goes up to 175. You're looking at he goes up in weight 175. He's come down in weight. Cherry pick is kind of a strong term for it because that would imply that Bivol is not that good. And we all knew Bivol was good. I didn't think he was going to beat him like that.
Didn't think he was as good as Canelo.
No. We did not.
Well, that's a difference.
Right.
And you're right. I thank you for checking me because by saying that, we're diminishing him. But what Russ Amber did say, he put it very eloquently, said he's not a cherry pick, but let's be clear. He was He was picked for a reason. He was selected for a reason.
Correct.
He was carefully chosen. So we don't want to diminish him by saying he was cherry picked because that insults him. Strike that from the record, Your Honor.
I would have loved, you know what, I'll tell you what, now I would have loved to seen him take that PBC offer, the supposed offer that was out there with Charlo and David Benavidez. I would have loved to see him take that offer because I thought those were two bigger fights. I thought those were two more competitive fights. I thought those were two more fan-friendly fights. And I think that they would have garnered a lot more. What did they said 500,000? How many pay-per-view buys did he get? 500,000?
550, but he got 800,000 with Caleb Plant.
You know, that Fox machine, it makes a difference. That Fox promotional machine makes a huge difference.
Showtime does a pretty good job, too. Here's the thing, Eric. You made a great point earlier in the year, and I didn't really – I'm not going to say I dismissed it, but I really didn't put as much stock in it as I should have put in it. You said that the mainstream public would be more interested in a Charlo fight or a David Benavidez fight. When you got guys like Stephen A. Smith who are on ESPN 24/7, these guys got – when he's talking about how he was glad Canelo lost because he's mad because he wanted him – he's tooting the Charlo horn, the David Benavidez horn. You got Chavez Sr. You got all these people. You got ESPN. You got Showtime. You got Fox. You got all of that mainstream sports public media who would get behind both of those fights, more so than this Bivol fight. And from what I was told, that the PBC deal was substantially more money, much more money than this friggin' his own deal. Apparently he heard it was worth a lot.
Yeah, like a lot more.
So, you know, the only reason for taking this other deal is I know a lot of people, you said this, he feels more comfortable with Eddie, but he also did work with PBC. He said he was treated fairly over there. So
it could just be a preference. It could just be a preference.
I can't help
know?
But think maybe he thought this was an easier role. Again,
Charlo at 168, if he went into 168, it's not like he's a pushover there. I don't expect Canelo to walk right through him. That's
but
a tough fight. Charlo's a tough fight for anybody.
What I'm saying is I think, you know, it's fair to say that maybe Bivol is more skilled and you could argue more talented than – and this is just – you can argue this, but it's not etched in stone because styles do make fights. And we saw how Bivol went, you know, he went nip and tuck with fucking Craig Richards. Two judges had him winning 115 and 113. One judge had him winning 115 and 114. The styles make fights. You can't just sit there and say that Bivol, you know, you could say, you know, because you think Bivol is more skilled than David Benavidez or Charlo, you can't say that just because of that he would win the fights. Because, again, styles make fights. I think David Benavidez would be a nightmare for Bivol. I think he'd be a nightmare for Bivol. He said he's sparred with him. Again, that's practice, whatever. But he knows Bivol. You know what I mean? So I don't necessarily think that it would have been a cakewalk for I would have picked Canelo to beat Charlo, but I think
Listen,
he would have.
We would have picked Canelo to beat Benavidez. We would have picked him to beat Charlo.
No, I'm saying he would have had a. I would have picked him to beat Charlo.
And we picked him to beat Bivol. You know what I mean?
But,
so anybody he fights.
But let me go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Let me have this. I think I would have favored him against Charlo, right? But he would have had a walk through fire to beat David Benavidez.
Tough fight.
That's what I'm
tough
getting.
Tough fight.
At.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong about the Charlo fight, too. Paulie Malignaggi thinks the Charlo fight's a horrible style matchup for Canelo Alvarez. So I could be wrong. Was Bivol really the tougher choice? We don't know.
Dallas Rockmore says that Bivol was a cherry pick because no one knows him outside of boxing. With that logic, though, we could say that Charlo and Benavidez are cherry picks, too, because no one knows them outside of boxing. They're not household names. They're just not.
I think we can argue that David Benavidez was like when you got Stephen A. Smith.
I can tell you this: Charlo and Benavidez are more popular than Bivol.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but they're still not household names.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, man, I would have loved to have seen
him go that PBC
route.
Yeah, you got Shannon Sharp and Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. They're shouting out David Benavidez, saying that he should be fighting Canelo Alvarez. So
Well, let's talk about,
be honest.
You know, let's talk about this Triple G fight for a minute, man. Does Triple G just have that style that gives him problems, that gives Canelo problems?
Well, my buddy Joe Calix seems to think so. He seems to think so. He seems to think, because he likes to fight, and he thinks that these guys could fight 10 times, and it would be a competitive fight every time. It would be a close nip and tuck fight because of how they match up. But I'm not so sure I'm going to 100% agree with that because of Canelo's age. Excuse me, because of Golovkin's age.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Golovkin's age, because of that.
Yeah, that's like I said, man, we've seen him on the slide. When reflexes go, reflexes go. Now, I'm not saying that he's a shot fighter. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that he's not the same as he was 5 years ago, put it that way.
Ooh. Well, just like when Pacquiao was fighting Marquez a third time, everyone thought Marquez was done. And it's so ironic because I was saying this to Joe Calix, because Joe Calix hated my friend Joe Calix here on YouTube. He hated the third Pacquiao-Marquez fight. And I said, no, Marquez has still got it. He matches up well against Pacquiao. And, you know, he's preaching the same argument to me, many years later about this fight. So what if he's right? You know, and if he is right, all the worse for Canelo, because, again, you're supposed to whitewash this guy because the guy's way past it. And if he gives you a tough fight, win, lose, or draw, once again, that's a bad look for him, and he's probably going to go even further down on that pound for pound list that I don't really give a shit about, but so many others do. So,
yeah, it's a different thing, man. Mike Tyson calling Benavidez a Mexican monster. Public would listen to that, in my opinion. Thank you, Toby Bartlett. I agree with that. Like I said, man, I thought that was a better route for him to go, but he chose the other route, and now we're getting a third Triple G fight. And for whatever reason, like, DAZN loves that fight. I don't know why. But
DAZN
loves that fight. Will you pay for that fight? Well, you pay for the Raleigh fights, I'm sure you will. But I don't know that I will, man. I'll be honest.
That's a serious question.
Unfortunately, it was.
I'm the biggest loser of all time. Of course, I would pay for that fight.
Yeah. I'll just say to that.
I may even buy Robbie's.
That's
how sick I am.
That sickness runs deep, man. That's crazy. All right, some breaking news today of sorts. Now, I'm getting this on Twitter, you know, so take it for what you will. Somebody in the chat said Ishae Smith tweeted out that the fight is done between Crawford and Spence. The fight's not done, but Spence said last night, tell Crawford to sign the contract, which would indicate that the contract's been sent over there. If contract has been sent over there, all he has to do is sign it. When they start sending you contracts and the agreements and everything, listen, the money's been set. Everything has pretty much been set, you know. So that fight is going to happen. It's going to happen this year. My guess is it happens in September. But I don't know. We'll see.
I can't wait for that fight. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, right? Is that the biggest – that's the biggest fight of the year. It's the biggest fight since – it's the biggest welterweight fight, right, since what? Mayweather-Pacquiao, I guess?
Yes, correct.
Which I didn't like that fight anyway, but it's got to be the biggest one since then, right? And who else? I mean, Hearns-Leonard is the one that brings to mind.
Hearns-Leonard was the other one, yeah.
That one really brings to mind. Nobody is going to remember Pacquiao-Mayweather. That fight will not age well. That you know what I mean? It's just not going to.
Here's the thing. It's never being watched a second or third time. Like, I've watched Leonard Hearns won several times in my lifetime.
Right. I've never watched the Pacquiao fight again with Mayweather.
I watched it one other time.
There was nothing on TV.
I'm really a piece of work.
Jesse JZ Cutter says Canelo Triple G will be in September. You're right. You know, because that's what I'm guessing on. But if they decide to put that fight in September on Mexican Independence Day, the Spence fight, Canelo's not going to go against that. It just depends on who gets that date first.
Yeah.
I mean, would you? That fight is going to outdraw Canelo's fight, I would think.
Yeah. It'll be promoted much better, in my opinion. I mean, that's just how I see it.
Yeah. But you also don't want to see it taken away from, you know, you don't want to see it taken away either.
Yeah.
I don't want to see, you know, So
why even like why compete with another pay-per-view anyways if you don't have to?
No reason for it. No reason for it. Ah, Centurion Son, Pernell versus Chavez. He's right. That was another big one. That was another big one. But again, as far as welterweight fights go, and again, that was a big one. Pacquiao Mayweather was a big one. When you go back and you think about huge welterweight fights, that's the first one you think about. What's the first one you think about? Hearns Leonard. It's the biggest one. Yeah. That was the biggest one.
I loved that fight. That fight had everything. Yeah. You know, went 14 rounds, had a come-from-behind knockout.
Yeah, he was losing that fight, man.
Losing the fight.
Hearns was such a good fighter, too.
He made an adjustment, and it was so ironic because you had the puncher turn into the boxer, and you had the boxer turn into the puncher.
Right. It was amazing.
Yeah, it had everything. It had ebbs and flows. It was back and forth.
Right.
You know, both fighters went on a run. You know, it was a great fight, man.
Yeah. Some sad news to report here. Gary Russell Sr., father of Gary Russell Jr. and Gary Antoine Russell and all the other Gary Russells, unfortunately has passed away. Thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. And we've had him on the show before. He's such a nice guy. And it kind of breaks your heart, man, because he is. He is such a nice guy. He was such a nice person, man.
I'm honestly very, very sad.
Yeah.
I mean it because, like, he was a great person.
He really was.
He was the most genuine, nicest guy. Even if you didn't, he's the type of guy you meet him one time and you just say to yourself, "This is a solid, solid dude. He's a great man."
Yeah.
He makes a very good first impression on you. And you know what the thing is he never makes you feel like small. In other words, like he treats everyone like the same. Even if you're a big time channel or a small time channel, he talks to you just the same way he would talk to anyone. And that's what made him a great human being.
Yeah, and he was just down to earth. Earth guy, man.
Yeah.
He really was. Just a down to earth kind of guy.
Yeah.
So
I was very sad to hear that.
Yeah, he'll be missed. Sean Black, if you're in the chat, you may want to listen up here. Deontay Wilder had a statue of his likeness unveiled in Alabama this week. During an interview, he said he would fight again, although no names were mentioned. So Wilder, perhaps coming back soon. Hopefully. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens, man. I like, you know, Wilder's another one of those guys that we interviewed. It's just a nice all-around guy, you know. And then you see him on TV, and sometimes he rubs you people the wrong way, but he's a good guy, man.
No. The real Deontay Wilder, not the bronze bomber persona.
Right.
The real Deontay Wilder
is
probably one of the sweetest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He really is. And I was really happy to see him get that statue. And was it Tuscaloosa? Was it Tuscaloosa, I believe?
Yes, it was.
He's the biggest boxer to come out of the state of Alabama. And they showed him, they didn't wait. They let him know now, you know, and I thought that was great. And the reaction he had, if you guys haven't seen that video, go to YouTube and watch it for when he saw a statue. He hugged the statue. You could see he was just genuinely so happy, you know, and it was a real cool thing, man. So if you're a Wilder guy, that was a real cool thing. If I ever end up in Alabama, man, you better believe I will go see that statue for sure.
I will.
So what do you think about him coming back?
I have a feeling they'll put him in there with Andy Ruiz. I'm going to say something crazy. In my opinion, you could argue he's still the second best heavyweight in the world. That's just how I see it. I would pick him to beat Joshua. I would pick him to beat Usyk. Call me crazy. I just think style-wise, he hits anyone else. You could argue that Tyson Fury is possibly the best defensive fighter in that heavyweight division. He's the best skilled fighter in that heavyweight division. He knocked him down four times in three fights, and each time he knocked him down, you got the sense that this could be the end.
Yeah.
And if he landed those shots against anyone else, there's no way Joshua gets up and finishes. That, again, my opinion. I just don't see Joshua finishing after getting knocked down twice in a round by Deontay Wilder. I just don't think he gets up and finishes. I don't think Usyk gets up and finishes. I just don't. And if he can hit Tyson Fury with that right hand on a numerous amount of occasions, right? Then he's
the best defensive fighter in the heavyweight division, by the way. I would say Jared Anderson. You know, hey, I mean, you know, listen, that power carries, man. You stand a chance.
Yeah, and what does Joshua get hit with a lot of? He gets hit with a lot of right hands.
You've said that from the very beginning that you always like Wilder in this because of that.
He has a lazy jab a lot of times in Joshua, and then the right hand comes right over the top of it. Povetkin hit him with a huge right hand, and Povetkin hurt him badly in their fight, you know? So...
Yeah.
Joe Parker hit him with a good shot, rocked him.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Wilder, I think Joshua may have the better resume. You may inch it toward him, but I don't think it matters. I really don't. I think that Wilder, like I said, man, he puts hands on you. That could be it.
A lot of people would disagree with me. I'm just giving my opinion.
Yeah.
I think you get it. I would pick him to beat Joshua. I would pick him to beat Usyk. Again, styles make fights.
If he comes back and his heart's in it, which if he comes back, he's got to be all the way in. I think he'll be all right. I think he'll be all right.
And let me ask you this: how many times can Fury get hit with that right hand and continue to get up? At some point, there's going to be a time if he were to fight him again, he may not get up one time. You know what I mean?
He's the only guy that I've ever seen hit you. And there's always somebody who could take those shots. Nobody's taking those shots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just not. So.
And I'm very disappointed in what I heard from Bob Arum last week when he said that Fury is waiting to see who wins that fight between Joshua and Usyk to decide whether or not he's going to retire. Does that mean if Usyk wins, he's not going to fight Usyk?
Right,
he's going to retire. He's only going to.
Well, if AJ wins, there's going to be a trilogy. You got to think there's going to be a trilogy there, so that puts him on ace even further. So, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think there'll be a third fight immediately. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, guys. Happy Memorial Day to everyone out there. Be safe. Be safe above all else. And that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. You can catch me on Twitter at Ringside73 and catch our YouTube channel at RingsideReporterLive.com. And we will see you guys next week.